You say your love goes on forever, that your mercy never stops. So why would I assume you'll be somebody that you're not? Like sun in the morning, I know you're gonna be there every day. So what on earth could make me be afraid? Good God Almighty, I hope you'll find me. Right next to me.
I haven't seen most of you since last year. It's been a long year since I've seen you last. If you got your Bibles today, I want to take you to a verse that we're not going to be preaching about today, but this verse is on my mind. And so if you got your Bibles, go to the last book of the Bible. It's in Revelation 21. Revelation 21. I don't know about you, but what's important to me is hope. Is hope. How many of you find hope important? You may find hope important. I find hope very important. So if you got your Bibles, Revelation 21. There's a fantastic verse in Revelation 21 because John, the apostle, is in prison on Patmos. He's been persecuted and he's in jail for being a follower of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when I look at this, I find that it's something that I hold dear to because it means a lot to me, especially even in this season that we're in. This is John, and this is what he saw. I saw a new heaven, a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth, passed away, and there's no longer any sea. There's going to be significance coming up in that phrase, so just give me a moment. Verse 2, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the temple of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And this is my favorite part, verse 4. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. So here's what I want to share with you, kids. We got to hold on. We've got to hold on. Because something good's coming. And Jesus gave us that good. And so as you and I are in church today, we're going to worship our Lord and Savior because he's the one that saved us. And the hope we have is that someday all the tears that we are expressing, even yet this morning, what's going to happen with them? What's going to happen to those tears? They're going to be wiped away. No need to cry anymore when we get there. And so our songs today are kind of highlighting around the hope we have in Jesus. The last song of the day is going to be a fantastic song where we're going to sing about flying away to see him. And so I want to pray with you now, and we'll go to our Lord in worship. Father, we give you praise for the kindness of your presence. And that verse 3 of Revelation 21 says that you're going to be among us, and we will be your people. And that's just so encouraging, Lord, that no matter where we are or what we're going through, you are there, period. And that's enough. And it doesn't stop the grief. It doesn't stop the circumstances that we're experiencing, but it is enough that your presence is there. Your presence reminds us, Lord, how much you care for us, how much you love us, your desire to guide us, and also tells us, Lord, your presence tells us that you desire to be in eternity with us, and you want to be that one, the only one, in fact, that can wipe away every hurt we've ever experienced when we walk through eternity's gate. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for making this possible. No words can describe what it means that you've made this possible. I just hope, Lord, that all of us can place in our own minds and hearts to sing to you in such a way that you know how much we love you. And we pray this in your name, Lord. Amen.
Let's begin the new year. I think my mic is dead without a battery. But anyway, we're going to go to this new year looking at Jesus and God as our vision. That's who we should look at in times of joy and in times of sorrow. So let's stand as we sing, Be Thou My Vision.
Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling.
as I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art.
High King of heaven,
my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys
right now. Son, heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
You may be seated. In Hebrews 12:14, it says, follow holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. It takes some time to be holy. It just takes some time. The song's going to tell us lots of things to do in the time that it takes to be holy always.
Time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, His likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, let Him be thy guide. And run not before Him. Whatever betide, in joy or in sorrow, still follow the Lord. And looking to Jesus, still trust in His word. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive, control, thus led by His Spirit to fountains of love, as you shall be fitted for service above.
So we've talked about holiness. We're going to sing about prayer. Just did you think to pray?
This morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? When you met with great temptation, did you think to pray? Dying love and merit, did you claim the Holy Spirit as your guide and stay? When your heart was filled with anger, did you think to pray? Did you plead for grace, my brother, that you might forgive another? Your way. When or trials came upon you, did you think to pray? When your soul was bound in sorrow, all of beauty yet you borrow at the gates of day.
Let's be standing now as we prepare our hearts and minds for communion, the first communion of 2023. This is Psalm 55:18. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. No matter what happens, it is just the best thing to have it well with your soul.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. Oh, Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul, it is well, it is well.
Your family, if anybody wants to sign it.
Morning. I like that song, It Is Well With My Soul, when things are not going good around you and everything. We always have comfort that Jesus is taking care of us. I usually have some scripture to read from, but for some reason other than this week, I just had a lot of things running through my mind. I had the unfortunate privilege to take the ambulance to 3 untimely deaths this week. And I was reminded of Norman's Bible marker that he has, and it says, be ready, because we never know what the future holds with us. We don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. But anyway, last Sunday, we had just a little humor as we started out communion. We was all rooting for Austin. And I was thinking, if he doesn't get here, I'm going to have to say something. And I was reminded of Rick Ridge's communion meditation he did for our Christmas program. It was really good. I'm thinking, man, I wish I could copy that down. I could have used that. But I was reminded, what I was thinking of was that Sunday night, we were celebrating Jesus' birth, and we took communion, and we celebrated his death at the same time. And to me, that had some meaning. Now, we don't know exactly when Jesus was born, and I don't know who picked the 25th to celebrate it on, but as Christians, we celebrate his death every Sunday, or as Scripture says, whenever we meet together. So today, as we prepare to remember him, as we partake of the loaf and the cup, let's be mindful that it's Jesus' sacrifice that we're celebrating. Let's bow our head. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we can come and remember you, to praise you for your sacrifice. For without that, we would have no hope of salvation. Be with and guide us. In the Holy Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. gracious Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the many blessings you have given us. Help us to be mindful of them and return a portion to you that we might help others. In our holy Son's name we pray. Amen.
It's going to be a song, not a video. Well, as you, for the past several years, we have been getting a theme for our church, a scripture theme. And so I want to share you the backstory of this scripture once we read it together. Okay, so let's read this together. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." That's Matthew 22:37. If there's a way you can commit that to memory, I just encourage you to do that. This is our theme for 2023. And here's how this came to mind. I went to see a man in the nursing home this past week. Actually, not this past week. It's been probably 2-3 weeks now, first part of December. And he has a New Testament Bible that we as a church got, and we like to give to people. So if you ever need Bibles, I have plenty in the back table or in our office here, in the church office. But he had this Bible, and he was in his wheelchair, and I'll never forget the words he said to me. He says, "Jeff, can you show me the greatest verse in the Bible? The greatest verse in the Bible." Now, you could argue all day long which one's the greatest verse, but Jesus said this is what? The greatest commandment. He said this is the greatest commandment. And so as we read this verse and together, I just shared to this man, I said, when you love God, with how much, church? All your heart, all your soul, all your mind. When you love God with all those three things, what does that mean? You love God, that's true. That's true, you love God, that's true. It means everything else falls into place. It does, it falls into place. And so it starts with you and I loving God. And so this coming year, I really want to encourage you to be inspired by this theme, thematic thought. To just simply love God, just love him, just do the best you can loving him. You say, "Well, I don't know how to do that." Here's how it starts, okay? You sit quietly and you tell God you love him. You say, "I don't feel like it." Love isn't always a feeling. Those of you who've been married 50 years, you always feel like you want to be married to a person you've been married for 50 years? No, but you say, "I love this person, so I'm sticking around." And that's what it means for you and I as Christians. You don't always have the warm fuzzies loving God, but you're choosing to do it. And so in our quiet time here, here's what I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to tell God you love him. Tell him you love him. And then in the second part of your quiet time, if you have the second part and you can get around to it, I encourage you to be praying for those people who are really hurting this badly this week. That they would still continue to do what? Love God, even though it's so bleak, it's so hard, that they would continue to love God. So those two things in your quiet time. Tell God you love him. And ask God to encourage people to continue loving him, even in the hard times. Father, we love you and give you praise for being so kind to us in ways that we can't even fathom. And so, Lord, one of the ways you ask, you command us to return such kindness is you command us to love you. And it is a command. And it's one of the best commands you've ever given us because, Lord, we know that all of us know we're not good at following what you want us to do. But, Lord, as we discern and meditate on a verse like this, it helps us be mindful that when we love you, it all will fall into place. And more importantly, our eternity will fall into place next to you as we choose to love you. And so, God, help us to love you in this new year in ways that we haven't thought even possible. Stretch our hearts and our minds to comprehend what it means to truly love you. And so, Lord, on all of our hearts today and our minds is the Fisher family. And I just pray, Lord, that you encourage their hearts to continue to love you. We thank you for the gift of Brit. Pray, Lord, that you just encourage this family because we love them. And we just want you to encourage them, please. We love you, Jesus, and thank you for giving us hope beyond the grave. We so look forward to our time with you. Coming home, all tears wiped away. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. I want to share with you today as we start our Genesis passage, three ways in the beginning affects everything. We're going to be preaching through Genesis, and probably the way I preach will be here at least through 2033. In the beginning, how does it affect us? I think it affects everything. In this week, we're studying session two. And in session two of our series on The Chosen, these copies are for free if you want one of these copies. They're around the table. I didn't even pick this. I found it today as I was looking through the questions. It says this: do you believe people outside the faith that know you still define you by your past, or do you see that you've changed? And so this past week, I had the opportunity to grab a little basket my mom made me a number of years ago, gave me, and it was full of pictures. And so if you're willing to go with me for just a moment, I want to share with you a picture or two. As we consider my past, looking at my past, this is a high school picture of a kid in 1988 in the Sweet 16 of basketball in Missouri, and playing at the Northeast Missouri State University in Kirksville, Missouri. And we went on to lose that game, but that guy shooting the basket there is me. I was the first guy that touched the ball in my senior year and was the last guy that touched the ball in my senior year. And in case you're wondering, yes, I do wear those shorts whenever I can. As you continue to look at that picture, you're going to see something else comes up. This was just a few weeks later in the fall of 1988. That's me with the aviator glasses on, headed off to college. And that was a picture of me on the front stoop of our farm there in Leonard, Missouri. On your left is my granddad, Pence. It's my mom's dad. And then my brother, James, and my sister, Kisha. And headed off to college. And so those were pretty impactful times, Mom thought, so she took a picture. I mean, it's significant to take a picture in those days, you know. It kind of took a little effort, and so Mom was good at doing that. The other picture is me in my college dorm. And so this is when I got to my college dorm, and I know what you're saying. I haven't changed a bit. You're right. I haven't changed a bit. And the dorm life was something unique to me. I wasn't used to as a farm kid getting off the farm. I wish I could tell you I did great things in college. I did not. And finally, I think the last picture I have for you to suffer through is this one. This is a picture of me several years later. And yes, I do not wear those pants anymore. I may still have them in the closet somewhere if you want to borrow them. But that's a five-generation pick right there, five-generation pick. You can see me on the left there, your left, my grandma Florence there in the middle. She was born in 1897. My granddad Pence on the right, and then grandma Florence is his mother. There's my mother standing behind my grandfather, my granddad Pence, and then, of course, my mom is holding Ashley. And so you can probably discern by time factor, if you do the math, that's probably just around 32 years ago. Somewhere around there. So And yes, in case you're wondering, Ashley is getting very old. And so as I look at these pictures with you and I kind of rewind those things in the past, I think it's important for us as a human being to have a mindset and come to reckoning. I mean, how many of us look to our past and say, this is where I came from? Maybe, maybe not, okay? I think we do that as people, though. I mean, many of you are on farms that who owned or someone owned, family, okay? And if you notice this to be true, that we tend to look back on our past and we tend to let our past define who we are now, okay? We have a mindset based on what we look like or family looked like then and who I am now. I can look at this picture right here and I can see my dad thick and through. Now, he didn't wear clothes like that, but I can just see my dad, and I'm going to show you some images later about my dad, and you'll think, you'll wonder if that's really my dad. But the reason I say this is because you have a past with people in your past, and you look towards the past, and that kind of shapes you who you are now. Whether you like it or not, that shapes you who you are now. How many of you have done this? You've been in a conversation, and you said something, and you go, is my dad in the room? Or is my mom here? Because who said it before you? Your mom or dad. And so we're shaped by our past who we are now. And it's not always pleasant when we look in the back of our past. It's not always pleasant. Sometimes we do things now that our parents did. We're like, I wish I'd never done that. I wish I'd never learned that. And I'll share with you a little insight as we grew older and became parents of adult children. Yep. We jokingly say, I gave all the kids their bad stuff. That was my part in our marriage. I gave them everything bad. But they're old enough now they can repent of it because I am. But the point of fact that I'm trying to make, kids, is this. You've got a past. We tend to look back towards the past to define who we are now. And I think this is something that needs to be significant for us to understand. That if each one of us traces our past back, as far as time could go, where would you end up? You'd end up where? At the beginning. You end up in Genesis 1. So if you got your Bibles, go to Genesis 1. And that's an easy book of the Bible to find. It really is. It's in the first book of the Bible. I promise. It's easy to find. Genesis 1:1 is where we're going to start out. And here's the point I'm trying to make for us today, okay? The point is this. To study the beginning of all things, and trust me in this, you'll find this today. To study the beginning of all things is to have a better sense of who you are because of who God is. I didn't say who your dad was or your mom was or your grandparents was. I said, when we study the beginning, when we study the beginning of all things, you're going to have a better sense of who you are now because of who God is. Folks, that's significant. That's powerful. There's things you're going to learn today that perhaps you should have learned 50 years ago, and you may even say that today at the end of the message. But here's what you can say now. I know where I came from. Because I know where I came from, I know who I am. So if you got your Bibles, Genesis 1, here we go. God is before the beginning. God is before the beginning. Look in Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, what's the next word? God. In the beginning, God. I've heard it in this church. I've heard it in other churches when I ask the question, and I ask that you not say it out loud if you think you know the answer. Here's a question I've asked for many times. I've heard this lots of times. And it goes a question something like this. How long has God existed? And the most quick answer I get is, God has existed from the beginning. Is that the right answer? Nope, it's not the right answer. When did God exist? When did that happen? Before that, Jackson. God has existed before the beginning. Before the beginning. And it's like, well, I don't understand that. You're not supposed to. Because God has existed before you can even comprehend. See, the Bible tells us something about God, that God is eternal. And this means that since in Genesis 1:1 that God was in the beginning is referring to the creation of the known and unknown universe. That's the beginning of the creation. And so in the beginning refers to, listen to this, in the beginning refers to that moment when God first created time and matter. And you're saying, well, duh, everybody knows that. No, not everybody knows that. Not everybody knows that, that God created everything at one specific point, but God existed before that point. And so time and matter started somewhere. And according to the Bible, time and matter is what we're made of. the things you see matter. Matter started at a specific point in time, okay? And in the beginning, who was already there to do it? God was. Now, this is significant because this must and should create a whole mindset of thought when it comes to our life right now. Right now. So think about this truth I want to share with you. Since God is before time and God created time, then God oversees how much time? Because he what? He created time. And that's hard to comprehend. You don't have to comprehend it. It's called by faith. That's why we're here. Then I must trust God with what? Time. I must trust him with time. Now, what does it mean to trust God with time? Well, it seems only fitting to look at a psalm. You say, a psalm. You realize the psalm that we're about to quote here is written by Moses. Who wrote Genesis? Moses. Look what Moses says here in the psalm, okay? Let's read this together. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. I find it curious, as you look at that text, that Moses describes God as everlasting. How long is everlasting? It's longer than the everlasting gobstopper on Willy Wonka. It's longer than that. Everlasting, okay? God must be trusted with time because he's lasted how long? Well, he's always existed. There's not a lasted to him. He's everlasting. And so then the everlasting God, listen to this, he must become a trusted place. He calls him that, a trusted place, a place for all generations. That means since God is the giver of time, God then becomes someone I can trust with my time. And of course, the opposite is true. Listen closely. You'll catch this really quick. The opposite is true as well. If you do not trust the everlasting God with your time, then you will always see your time or lack of time as a curse, not a gift. Did you catch that? If you do not trust the everlasting God with your time, you'll always see time or lack of time as a curse, not a gift. And so truth number two for us is this. Since God is before time and God created time, I have no control over time. How many of you still think you can control time? Oh, come on. If you were really honest, you'd raise your hands, wouldn't you? You don't have any control over time. In fact, we know that our days are numbered according to whose time? They're numbered. Our days are absolutely numbered. And Moses recognized this about his time on the earth. He says again in Psalm 90, okay? All right. When I get to the underline, can you read the underline? When we get there, you read the underline. You bring people into this world and you change them into dust again. To you, a thousand years is like yesterday, like a few hours in the night. Our life is like a dream that ends when morning comes. We are like grass that grows and looks so fresh in the morning, but in the evening, it is dry and dying. So guys and gals, whenever you're baling hay, you need to start thinking about this verse. Now, you may have two-year-old hay, but it didn't look like it did the first day you cut it. That's the same way for you and I. Our days are numbered. And the psalmist, he recognizes this. And he says, in the morning, have you ever had those dreams and you wake up in the morning and it's like, I had a great dream. Oh, where'd it go? Have that happened to you before? That's how short your life is. It's just gone fast. And so Moses recognized that life is as fleeting as the grass. And something happens, kids. Something happens for you and I when we recognize that the everlasting God is a keeper of time and our time on earth is up to him. And God wants you to acknowledge that your time of days on the earth is numbered. He wants you to recognize that. You say, well, preacher, when did you have this sermon made? I wrote this sermon on Tuesday. And so it's not something that's flippant that we should just mark off. It's a reality check. Our days are numbered. And so there's a truth in there, okay? Listen to this truth. God is before time. God created time, and I have no control over time. Since my days are numbered, I must use what wisely for God? What must I use wisely for God? Your time. You must use your days wisely for God.
Use your days wisely for him. And this is what Moses is trying to share with us, because he says this. He says this in Psalm 90, 10 and 12. Okay? Again, you read the underline when we get to it, okay? We live about 70 years, or if we are strong, 80 years. But most of them are filled with hard work and pain. Amen? Yeah. Then suddenly, the years are gone, and we fly away, oh glory. And then now, teach us how short our lives are so that we can become wise. It sounds silly to say it, maybe, but 70 years, God says, oh, we have 80 if you're strong. So if you're over 80 years old, guess what you got? You're blessed with borrowed time. You're blessed with borrowed time. And God says, it won't be long that we're all going to what? Fly away. It's going to happen. We're going to fly away. And so wisdom comes from knowing that. God says you've got wisdom, knowing your days are numbered, and that God's in charge of that number. It gives you wisdom, okay? Insight, wisdom. Choose that wisdom. The second point today, if you've got your sermon outline, is this. Jesus is before the beginning. Jesus is before the beginning. Look at Genesis 1:1 again. You'll see it there. In the beginning, what's the next word? God. I don't see Jesus there. I think you do. It's a fantastic scripture that tells us about that. You know, the other day, my Aunt Paula and I were talking about family, specifically family that existed before me, and she asked me this question. She said, hey, Jeff, do you have this picture? I said, I'm not sure, Paula. What are you talking about? She goes, it's a picture of her, my Aunt Paula, my great-grandmother, and my great-great-grandmother, which is Molly, whose mom Molly's named after. And it may sound unique to you, but this is important, that when you look in your past at specific dates, you like to know who was there. You like to know who was there. I want to show you a little thought of that, okay? Look at this picture here. Remember I told you I went to college, right? And Mom took another picture when I went to college, and this was outside the dorm room, and we're unloading vehicles. Look at those old cars. See the old Ford pickup up there, a good-looking old Ford truck? And I don't know, we had a blue Mazda or something. I think it ran on two red squirrels and a gray squirrel when I was going uphill. But if you can see that old box fan, boxes there, and I didn't know this, but my grandmother is there too with my grandfather, and they went clear to Kirksville with me to get moved into the dorm. I had no idea that they was there. Now, I don't remember that. Of course, I was there that day. I don't remember that at all. My brother James, my brother John, and my sister Kisha. And I look at that picture, and I think, wow, I forgot that. So when you look back on your past and you begin to see a fuller picture of what happened there, and this is a good memory, what does that give you? What's it give you? Well, for me, it gives me a fuller picture of what that moment entailed. I don't recall. You see, that was 1988. Someone do the math for me. My grandparents were born in 17, so that means 70 years. There's 70 years there in that picture. Is that right, math people? And so my grandparents took that trip to Kirksville, Missouri, which is just not quite an hour from my house where I was grew up on the farm, and they made the trip. I wonder how my grandparents thought of me. They probably loved me. And so sometimes when you look at pictures like that, it's powerful for us to consider. Here's another picture I want to share with you. Now, can you tell who that guy is? It's my dad. You're right. Yeah. This picture is taken almost 33 years ago. That's Ashley. She loves me showing off my old pictures. I never knew this picture existed until I found it in the basket this week. And as I see a little baby girl reaching up into the face of someone that she knows, what do you see? She trusts him, likes the voice, reaches for the voice. What's it say about my dad and his granddaughter? What is it? He's enjoying her. But I never saw him change a poopy diaper. I never did. So But you understand what I'm getting at? When you look in the past at a past picture, you get a fuller image of who you are now. That tells me that even now, my dad's still alive. Even now, that I know that Ashley's still loved by dad, because I can tell by that picture. Well, what's that mean, preacher? What are you talking about? Fantastic. I'm glad you asked the question. What you get from the snapshot of the past can help you give a fuller meaning of right now. The snapshot from the past can give you a fuller meaning for what you got right now. And we look at Genesis 1:1. We got a snapshot of what happened in the beginning, a snapshot. And this is powerful for us because I'm going to say it to you, and then listen closely. Jesus was there in the beginning because Jesus was there before the beginning. What? That's true. It is true. Look at this text, okay? It's in John 1. It's on the screen here, John 1, 1 through 2. Let's read this together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Well, you and I both know, as we look through Scripture, the Apostle John describes Jesus as the what? As the Word. He described him as the Word, okay? So that means that something happened there. How do we know that? Well, this is what happened, okay? Look, let's read this together. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word is who? The Word is Jesus Christ, okay? That's who the Word is. And so if we go back a verse, okay, we see this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I go back to the next verse. This tells me that as I consider Jesus Christ, there's a truth here. Listen to the truth. Don't miss this truth, okay? The truth is this. Jesus is the Word and was in the beginning with God as God. Listen, thus I must see Jesus as who? God and Savior. You have to. You have to see him as God and Savior. Not only did he save your life, but he's also God. That's powerful. That shapes who you are now. Now, sometimes it's kind of hard to understand that because we say, well, what was Jesus doing? What was Jesus doing in the beginning of creation with God? What was he doing? Okay? I didn't bring it with me. I forgot. I didn't have my prop manager help me today. But let's say, for example, this is a griddle, and this is a burger flipper, okay? And so I'm flipping burgers. Would I flip burgers with my hand? No. What I would do is I'd use what? A spatula, and I'd flip it, okay? And so what does it have to do with this? Well, look what happens with Jesus doing at the beginning, okay? All right? Read it with me. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So since I can't flip burgers with my hand, I have to use a spatula, right? Okay? God, and it's by faith we understand this, he's him and Jesus are working together. Jesus called the Word, and he's creating. He's creating. Jesus is the creative agent between God and creation. He's creating. And all things came into being through Jesus, and apart from Jesus, nothing came into being that has come into being. Nothing. Everything that you have in your life is from who? It's from Jesus. He's the causative agent for creation. Other places in Scripture will tell the same thing. Look what it says here. Okay, you read the underline when we get to it. He is the image of the invisible God, talking about Jesus, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Do you realize the impact of that verse in your life right now? And I'm going to share with you how it must impact us, because this is a profound truth. Profound truth. Here it is. Jesus, as the Word, is God. All things were created through him and for him. Thus, my life has purpose because why? You were created through and for Jesus. When you wake up on a Monday morning, you're, oh, it's a Monday again. No, don't do that. Your Monday was created through who? Through Jesus and for Jesus. That's your everyday purpose in life. You were created through Jesus and for Jesus. So this is the mindset when you get up in the mornings. Adopt this practice. Jesus, what are we going to do today? Same thing you ever do every day, Jeff. Great, let's do it together. Through and for Jesus is your purpose. Powerful, powerful thought there, okay? Now, there's something else. What does Jesus continue to do as the Word? This is very powerful. Listen to this. Let's read this together. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I've learned this to be true, and I've seen it happen before, that if you take off your belt, your pants fall down. Most people, anyway. If Jesus stopped using his word to hold all things together, what's going to happen with all things? It's going to absolutely fall apart. And some of you are thinking, I'm already there. I get it. But you know what the Bible is saying. Jesus sustains all things with his word. The word of Jesus, he sustains it and maintains. Just stop speaking, Jesus, and what happens to everything? It's no longer held together. It's no longer sustained. It just flies apart. And so this is powerful for us as people to remember. Look, this is the truth. Jesus, as the Word, is God. All things were created through him, for him, and in him all things are held together. They're held together. Everything you have, you say, well, I know atomic structure, Jeff. I've been through physics. I understand atomic structure. I know how it works. Do you? Because everything, even down to the atoms of your own body, are held together, being sustained by who? Jesus Christ. That means Jesus is due your praise. You must praise Jesus for sustaining everything. Must. You must praise him. If there's ever an opportunity to do it, take it every day. He sustains everything. So now we're getting a picture, a snapshot past of your past and what was there at the beginning. The next is just as profound. Just as profound. Listen to this one. The Holy Spirit is before the beginning. Look at Genesis 1. Genesis 1, verse 2. Got it with you? Okay. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the what? Spirit of God was moving, and some translations say hovering, over the surface of the waters. Moving or hovering. Now, once again, we look at this snapshot here, and we're kind of given something. It's pretty powerful. We're given something, okay? We can see that in this picture, the third person was there. We've discovered God's there. Who else is there? Jesus is there. Now, the third person is the Holy Spirit. He was there, okay? And we must never refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. Don't do that. Don't ever refer to the Holy Spirit as an it, because when you refer to the Holy Spirit as an it, you're detracting from his personhood. It's like me referring to Kirby, and when someone says, did you see Kirby today? Yep, it was here today. Would I do that? No, it'd be terribly disrespectful. So I'd say, yeah, Kirby's here. If I didn't know Kirby's name, yeah, that guy sits in front was always, he's there. Don't ever call the Holy Spirit an it. Don't do it. You're detracting from his personhood. He's God, and he deserves all your respect and honor. Call him Spirit or Holy Spirit. So think about this. What was he doing at the beginning? Look at verse 2. Okay? Look at verse 2 again. The Spirit of God was what? Moving or hovering over the surface of the waters, right? Now, here's a crazy thing that goes on in the world. I don't know how this happens. I think the enemy does it. Somewhere between verse 1 and 2 is what they call a gap theory. And in this gap theory, it's not worth talking about because it's a waste of time. But in the gap theory, some people speculate that God started the evolutionary process, and from the evolutionary process from 1 and 2 is billions and billions and billions of years. You'll never find that in the Bible. It's not substantiated. It's not truth. If you find yourself today believing that, I want to encourage you to repent of it. It's not true. But here's what is true. If you look at the text and continue looking at it. The Holy Spirit is involved in the process of creation because we know he's there in verse 2. What was his role? Well, apparently in the creation process, there's a sequence of events where the earth was formless and void. Formless meaning what? No form. Had no form. Void meaning what? If you're a clinician, it means something completely different. No life. No life. But it does also seem that there's water in that moment. So obviously when God was creating and God spoke the world in existence, the Bible does say that elsewhere. I didn't pull that passage out today. But God spoke the world in existence. There was water forming there on that creation day. And we know that the Spirit is there. And it's curious, and we're going to talk about this next week, that in verse 1-3, we start seeing the creation days. But first, we see the Spirit there before the creation days even start. So it seems to me that the Spirit is giving form and giving life. Does the rest of the Bible corroborate this? I think it does. I don't have it in the screen, but I know you'll know the verse when I talk about it. It's in Genesis 3:19. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. That's in Genesis 3:19. Well, what does that have to do with the Holy Spirit, Jeff? It has a lot to do with it. What form is dust? Well, if you look under my bed, you have a good idea. But dust does have a form, but it only can have a form when a person is involved in its formation. Look what happens here. Okay, I want to show that to you. Now, when I read the underline, when we get to underline, you read it, okay? You hide your face, they are dismayed. You take away their spirit, they expire and return to their dust. Talking about animals in this particular text. Talking about animals, how animals die, they turn to dust. And look at what the Bible says. Now you go. You send forth your spirit, they are created. Created from what? Dust. It says here, the spirit, you renew the face of the ground. How does God renew the face of the ground when something goes to dust? It says right there. You send forth your what? Spirit, and they are created. All mankind and all creatures, when they die, return to what? But only God can send his spirit, and in his spirit, that dust takes form or is renewed. Now, go here with me just this truth. Listen to this truth, okay? The Holy Spirit was before the beginning with God, as God, and formed the formless. Thus, I know who formed me. Thus I know who formed me. I have it on good knowledge of two women in my life who are pregnant, and guess who's forming that child? The Holy Spirit's forming that child. God, through the act of the Holy Spirit, is forming that child. God's the one who forms through the Holy Spirit. So not only does the Holy Spirit give form, but he also does something to the dust that he forms, okay? Remember, Adam, we're going to talk about that later. Adam was made, right? But Adam was just a good statue before what happened. Okay. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:6, the Spirit gives what? Life. This means that for you and I, we come to the conclusion, since the Spirit is a giver of life, form dust is only form dust until the Spirit makes that form dust what? Alive. Isn't it amazing how God chooses to give us a picture of what the beginning was like using all three of his personhood, God, the Father, Jesus, Son, and the Holy Spirit? And so truth number two is this, okay? The Holy Spirit was before the beginning with God as God and gave life to the formed. I know the Holy Spirit formed me and gave me life. I know that. Do you realize what it does to you when you start comprehending this truth? It frees you from having to live your life under any other expectation other than the one who made you. And so what do you think the motive of the Holy Spirit was as he hovered over the waters, as he moved over the waters? Because it says in Genesis 1:2, the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. What was his motivation? His motivation, what was the reasoning behind him doing that? If you do the research, like the Hebrew word on that word hover, some translations have it moving, which is what I've read to you already. And it's interesting what you find out. Listen, that Hebrew word only occurs two other times in the Old Testament. In Jeremiah 23:9, it's a word to describe someone who's afraid. But then there's this text. It's in Deuteronomy 32. And as we see it used in this text, it gives us a powerful image of the reason or motivation the Holy Spirit is hovering over the surface of the waters. Look at this text, okay, as we look at this together. When we get to the underline, you read the underline, okay? In a desert land, he found him. He's talking about Israel, okay? But listen to where we're going here. In a barren and howling waste, he shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and, what's the word? Hovers over its young that spread its wing to catch them and carries them aloft. And so that's the word hover there. It's the same word that was used in Genesis 1:2. It's powerful for us because as you consider an eagle hovering over its young, look what happens, okay? There are several things that happen. We see this, right? God does what? shields. God does what? Cares. And God does what? Guards. As what? The apple of your eye. This is a motivation of the Holy Spirit. God compared himself to a mother eagle. And so when the Holy Spirit's hovering there above creation, the Holy Spirit is shielding, guarding, and he's guarding as if you're so important, you're the very apple of God's eye. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing. Powerful image for us to consider the Holy Spirit's motive in our life. And so here's a thought, church, don't miss this. The Holy Spirit was before the beginning with God as God and gave me life. Thus, I am grateful for the Holy Spirit hovering over my life. The Holy Spirit hovering over my life to shield, to care, and guard. You're grateful to the Holy Spirit. So I have been making you suffer through old pictures, and so I thought, why as well finish with old pictures again? Okay. And so this past week, as I took pictures with my phone, marvelous thing to do, I taking pictures and sending them off to people and giving them memories and things like that, I want to take you back to an image, okay? This image here, now you already saw this image. This was, again, taken in the spring of 1988. This was a Sweet 16 basketball, so probably late February, early March, all right? And I already showed you a picture just a few weeks after I went to college, same school campus, a few years down the road. But before this picture, something happened. Before this picture, something happened. Matter of fact, before this picture, something happened in January of 1988. January of 1988, I turned 18. You know what men are supposed to do when they turn 18? Register with Selective Service, right? Okay. So I went and registered for Selective Service. Now, you've seen this picture as well, okay? The guy in the denim hat there is my granddad Pence. Great guy. I love him to death. One of the biggest influencers of my life. So appreciate him. He's wearing a hat that says Leonard Feed Service, which is what my dad had as a store back in the day. And my granddad said this the day I turned 18. He said, Jeff, I remember those gnarly pointed fingers. He had a rheumatoid real bad, so his fingers were crooked. And he was kind, but he was firm. He said, Jeff, when you turn 18 today, you go down to the post office and you register as a Democrat. Well, when you're an 18-year-old kid and your grandpa tells you what to do, you do it. So I did. So it's on the record. It's official. It's on Facebook land, wherever we're broadcasting. Now, I'm a registered Democrat somewhere. I don't know where I'm at. Okay. And so I did it, went down to the post office, and then I just started living my life. Now, I want to share with you another picture. This is a few years later. Okay? A few years later. Not too terribly long. Ashley's probably two in that picture. And so I was maybe 20, 21, a pretty young kid. Of course, Steffi and I and Ashley, and that kid that you see right there in that picture is an absolute pagan. Non-believing, absolute pagan of a kid. I couldn't have cared any more about God than I could a pair of shoes in that picture. I couldn't have cared any more about my wife than I could the mud in my truck. I was verbally abusive. At times, I was physically abusive. And you say, why are you telling us that compared with what you just said about your grandpa? Because here's what I'm trying to tell you. When you live your life off everybody else is telling you, what kind of person are you going to be? Not the one God intended. Not the one God intended. So this punk kid didn't get his brains figured out until 28 years old. And then he learned something. He learned that his beginning didn't start with his dad or his grandpa or his grandparents. Didn't start there. He learned that his beginning started with the beginning. And who was there? God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And since my beginning began with them, then I repented to that beginning. And that man there, the wretch of a foolish kid that he was, changed. Absolutely changed. And it was literally overnight. He changed me. just because I chose to focus on my true beginning, not what everybody told me to do. How many people have that option? Everybody. And then guess what happens? That kid is a lot grayer now, a lot less hair, and you know what he knows about his life? It's in God's hands. And that kid now knows my days are numbered. And I know that I need to live my days for who? Am I going to get it right? Nope. Praise God for forgiveness. But because I focused on a beginning that wasn't mine or my family's, I got a new beginning. And how many people need a new beginning? So I want to share with you a hope through a song. I'm going to fly away soon. How about you? Let's stand up and I want to pray with you. Father, we give you praise for being so kind to us. You're good. You're rich. You give us things that we do not deserve. We deserve way worse than what we've got. And so, Lord, you tell us.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore.
Please. Okay, Kirk, thank you. I should also mention that I didn't turn off my mic during the song time, so everybody online, I'm sorry. You got to hear an old rooster crow. Lots of things in the bulletin today. So here's one thing you got. Folks, we need people that love to serve Jesus at SCC, so there's a list of things that you can do. Please take the time to pray about that, go over that, look at that, and get that back to us. We'd love to include you on a servant list for Jesus here at SCC. Love to have you do that. Bear in mind, too, that we always have need for Sunday school teachers. And so I've never done that before. That's great. No one has it one time. And so we'll make sure you get training, how to do it, and we'll make sure you know that you'll be on a rotation. And so we need Sunday school teachers, people to help teach kids. It's a great thing that you can do. Invest in kids down the road. So I want to encourage you to seek out, I think three people is involved in that, Denise, Paige, and Molly. So seek out one of those three ladies about, hey, you know what, I think I can do that. Tell me what it looks like. You'll be on a rotation, and I promise you, you will not be stuck in a class of six-year-olds for 3 years. It won't happen, okay? It'll be a fun time, I guarantee you, okay? So see one of those people about that. Some of you love crossword puzzles, okay? Some of you love crossword puzzles. We're about to start this, the Days of Creation, okay? So this side has the blank crossword on it. This side has the answers on it. I suspect I know where many of you will start. So that's for you to have fun with, okay? January is here, by golly. We've already got a thought towards our theme this year. This is a prayer list that you can start in the January of this year. If you didn't get on the prayer list last year as far as grabbing this and taking it home with you, why not this year? Why not start this year? Take this list home and have the opportunity to just be a prayerful person. Just start this year. Just do that, okay? The other thing you can start doing, in the very back table, you're going to see a Bible reading plans. And so I want to encourage you, pick up a Bible reading plan. If you've never read through the New Testament, this New Testament, why not this year? Why not? Some of you more ambitious. I want to read through the whole Bible. Great. Why not this year? But I probably won't get it done. That's okay. Give it a good start. Okay, it doesn't hurt to try. So the Bible reading plans are back there in the back for you to take a hold of and go from there. Chosen studies are back there that we want you to look at so that you can grab a chosen study if you want and join us downstairs as well. Am I missing something? I've talked to several people that told me not to forget things. Roy Claypool's having surgery. Okay. Roy Claypool, January 9th, maybe praying for Roy. Okay, we can do that. All right. Another person we're going to be praying about is Dave. Dave starts his radiation and chemo for a surgery on his tumors in his neck. So, Dave, the date for that again is? Tomorrow. Okay. So we'll be praying for Dave and Teresa in that regard. Gene Groom, okay. All right. Be praying for them. Do that as well. Thanks, Kirk. Red Services, Laura Street. Visitation is tomorrow night, Laura Street, 5 to 7, Tuesday, 10. Okay. All right. On that note, this is a good note to finish up our time of announcement. Stephanie and I didn't plan this, and we hadn't thought, didn't even give one thought, but as we looked at the Chosen Session 2 study today, it talks about grief. And so I think it's a great time. If you haven't ever considered coming to a Bible study, why not now? Why not now? So we're going to do a little change up for Sunday school time. The women are going to meet out in the couch area because it's warmer out there, and the men folk are going to the kitchen. So make sure you get in the kitchen, men. Yeah, Jared. A nephew diagnosed with leukemia. Brent Bounce. Someone write this down because I cannot get it written down in time to do that. And give it to me later. Okay. Yes. Yep, Billy Fern needs her prayers. There's no doubt about it. Yep, I talked with Max this week about Billy Fern. It's just challenging. Challenging. So, yeah. That's right. We are getting together as a group of people because if you have your pulse on Worth County, you'll recognize there's been way a lot of deaths in Worth County here recently, way a lot. And so we want to minister to people in our community. That's what we're called to do. And so I want to encourage you to stick around. After Sunday school time, we're going to meet downstairs in the area where the couches are. We've got to connect and try to help people understand there's hope in Jesus. We've got to do that. So if you can be a part of that, be a part of that. Okay, we'd love to have you there. All right, having said that, we're going to wrap up our time now. If you want to stick around for prayer, we would love to do that. But Dave and Teresa, can we pray over you guys? That'd be all right? Okay. So stick around if you like. And thanks for coming. We're going to pray right now with Dave and Teresa. We're going to circle up around them. So, Derek, just play something low-key for music if you don't mind.